And welcome back, everyone.
Hello.
We're
here.
We are. We are in double digits.
Yes, we have reached 10 episodes. That's very exciting.
Episodes. I can't believe that.
I know.
Who knew that almost a year ago we'd get to 10 episodes?
Well, yes, but we got back on track after that brief hiatus that we took.
I'm Brian Garrido.
I'm Jennifer Garrido.
And welcome to Throw Open Your Doors.
It's great to have you here. Thank you for joining us.
We have been enjoying this journey with everyone who's been coming and listening week by week. We know, we were joking around, you know, we've gotten to our 10th episode. We did take a little hiatus there. We did, you know, if you listen to our earlier episodes, we realized we moved out of the RV into a home and there's a lot of transitioning going on, but we are back.
Yeah, it's great to be back too.
And we are officially at episode 10. So we've done 10 of these.
Yeah. It feels great to be in the double digits.
We are definitely in the double digits as we're going into that. But we've had definitely a week of just busyness. I was away this past week. I got to go to Missouri.
Yes. And you go to the Arch.
I did. I got to go, as I said, east or west of the Mississippi because I've never been out to that far. Well, no, we've been further out west, but I haven't been. we've been further out west.
You've been to the Missouri River before.
Yeah, I haven't been to the Missouri River. I haven't been to the Mississippi River, I should say.
I mean, yes. You were also at the Missouri River, too, right?
I did. I had a chance to. I can officially say I crossed from. It's kind of neat when you get the crossover in my running journeys. I was able to run from the St. Louis Arch, which St. Louis is a beautiful city. There's a lot of things that goes on around there. You know, seeing the Arch. I had no idea. I mean, I did know it was a national park, but I didn't know it had so much underneath the arch itself and just the whole architectural structure of that arch. Like you stand on it. I took a photo of it standing directly on it and it looked like the Washington Monument, but you just kind of moved it a little bit to the side and it was like angled. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of really cool to see how that was all angled.
Yes.
But I didn't got the run from the arch, and someone told me at the actual arch that if I go across directly to the other side, across the Mississippi River, there's actually an overlook area that you can go up and see the entire skyline of St. Louis. So sure enough, a mile and a half later, I was there. Crossed over the Mississippi, was in Illinois, and then took a picture.
That's cool.
And sent it to my family and said, I'm in Illinois. Mm-hmm. And they're like, weren't you just in Missouri? I said, I was. And now I'm in Illinois.
Yeah, the rest of us haven't been there before. So it was really cool to see your pictures and hear, especially about the arch, because everybody knows what the arch is. It's called the Gateway to the West. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we didn't know anything really about what was there. So it was cool.
Yeah, it's just learning the history of the area, just how everyone going to that area. And then every city has their food of what people are looking for. And they were known for a certain type of cheese. I think it starts with a P. Of course, I can't remember it, but they had also toasted raviolis is what they were also known for.
Oh, that sounds yummy.
So they had toasted raviolis. I didn't have a chance to eat it, but that was the thing that was definitely part of that area.
That's cool. Yeah, it's fun to experience food when you travel, like, and to experience what that particular area loves. Like, so.
Yeah. So it definitely was, neat to kind of see the rivers out there, the Mississippi and the Missouri, but unfortunately you got a cold while I was away.
I did. But fortunately it was only a 24-hour kind, but it really wiped me out. I had all these plans to organize things before you got back home and that didn't really happen because the cold was basically a day, but then the day or two after that, I was just really recovering and
it has everything
to
do with
just wanted to watch movies.
It has everything to do with the cold weather.
Yeah, we had spring and then it went back to cold. And today I needed gloves. So that was kind of weird because we just had really warm weather the other week.
Yeah, it just keeps fluctuating just when you think it's fine. Because where we live, when the wind kicks in, it can get pretty chilly. Even though they can say the temperature outside might be 50 degrees or 45. And then with the wind chill, it just feels like it drops back to 32.
Yeah, I guess March is known for that in general, right? Like probably a lot of our listeners are coming from, you know, places where it's just really windy. For some reason, I guess the weather pattern has just always made March just be known for being windy, I guess. But yeah, we've had a lot of that lately.
Yeah, definitely been Yeah, adjusting. Because just when you thought you were set to go. Well, I remember the... Well, yeah, I forgot to share this. Because so when we moved from Pennsylvania to North Carolina, I vividly remember the... Well, one experience was shoveling snow and all my neighbors watching me wondering what I was doing. Because nobody shovels snow in North Carolina.
Yeah.
Well, in the Raleigh area. I mean, going more western North Carolina, there's more snow out there. But in our area, they said, you know, wait a day and it'll melt.
Yes, and it literally did because it went from cold enough to snow to the 70s a few days later.
Correct. But then there was truly the snow that happened in the springtime, which shocked us. The yellow snow. You know exactly what I'm talking about if you know about the yellow snow. It's the pollen that's in the air.
Yes.
From the poplar trees and the pollinations, and then you literally see it up in the air, and then you wake up in the morning and your cars and everything you have is covered in yellow.
Literally covered. And yeah, in Pennsylvania, we didn't have pollen to that extreme. So when we moved to Raleigh and would see, like, you get to see it in the air, it was like just visibility was very hindered by it. It was just not clear anymore. It was brutal.
You're using your windshield wipers thinking that you have ice on it, and it just, as you're going through it, it just smears everywhere. It's like you squash all these dead bugs and they just unstuck there. But then we moved out to where we are now, and it's still here. I went out the other day and looked at my car and just took my finger and drug it across and went, oh, here we go again.
I know. There's a car wash up the road that has a special plan right now for pollen.
The pollen plan.
I thought that was great. I'm like, I might do that. It was not expensive.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. But definitely those memories of those things that you go through it. And then now the allergies kick in and we are doing the roller bottles around for lavender. And
yeah, we use essential oils. So you do a lavender, peppermint, and lemon blend. That's really helped you a lot with allergies, but yeah.
It is one of those scenarios. But the things that we were going through, we're starting to think about all the different things that we interacted with when we were living in Raleigh, living in Pennsylvania, doing all over the place. And what came about from when we were talking was thinking about the things, like when I went to Missouri, it made me starting to think of, you know, our trips to different museums and going and traveling to this museum or going to see that or going to see this. You know, when I was in, I intentionally picked a route to run when I was in Missouri. I was in Lafayette Park, and it was the oldest park west of the Mississippi that was started there. So it's kind of neat to see the history of the park. But then going from that park to going through downtown, seeing the history of the downtown area, then going to the arch and then going across the Mississippi. And then, so it's just, you know, we saw all of these different things, and I started thinking, you know what, you know, how the events and things that we do as adults, if we have children, or even if we don't, or if eventually you're gonna have children, even if we don't have children, how it kind of molds us and really is a part of who we are and what we've done. We kind of talked about that last episode, where the things that we do that we're involved in is because of, you know, our parents in that area. So we've always wanted to expose our kids to activities and in events. So we've done quite a bit of things over the years, but we want to start off with where our history on things. My mom was a garage sale hunter, that we would go out and hit the garage sales where you jump in the car and you drive one place and you get out of the car and you go in there, you look for a deal. They don't have anything, and you get back in and you leave and you learn how to scour the areas. But then your mom was the
antiquing.
He was the antiquer.
Yes. She loved to go antiquing. And so if we were going on vacation somewhere, my dad would always be sure to plan some extra time for mom to be able to stop at the antique malls on the way, which was really sweet of him. I have to say, it was really, really sweet of him. But when you're heading to the beach and you're suddenly delayed at an antique mall,
you're like, we're almost there, kids. And then they would say, we're doing what as a family? We're going antiquing.
Yes. And my mom was one of those really sweet mamas who you just wanted her to just enjoy, because you knew she'd been looking forward to it, because it was before the internet, you know, where she couldn't look online for things. She had to wait until she got to these antique stores or the antique malls. And so we were all really happy for her and wanted to give her that time. But oh my goodness, it would turn into a lot of time. And I am not an antiquer, so I didn't really appreciate that. you know, like
the treasures that you could find.
Yeah, yeah. It was my mom's thing.
Yeah.
Not mine. But and your mom was a master bargainer. Like, she's really great at, like,
yeah,
you know, getting great deals.
When you go to places and people would say, "No, we don't bargain here or hassle here," and then my mom still leaves with things that.
Yeah. She's amazing to shop with. Yeah. I really enjoy that. But yeah, we've done a lot of events, but we do them frugally. Like, we really like to save money and to try to figure out how to
get the best bang for our buck.
Right.
Is where we kind of look into it.
Yes. And so through the years, that one of the things that we would do is just always look and see how to stretch those dollars, you know, even more. And so one of the things that we had discovered was, if you got a museum pass, like for a science museum, if you got a pass for a year, they would reciprocate at other museums. So you could get that pass for one museum, but then go throughout many of the other ones in the nation, and they would have a list, you know, on their website.
It was reciprocal. It was a partnership that they had mm-hmm. with all of these other museums. It was they did them for aquariums. Some of them they did them.
Right.
Science centers. Never amusement parks. We never had that luxury doing that.
That would be nice. But, although there are some amusement parks that we found that are in this grouping where if you get a pass, like, you can actually go to the other ones.
Right.
But
Botanical Gardens.
We haven't tried that yet. Yeah.
That we had. So as a family, we ended up getting a Science Center pass that we ended up getting. And I think because we get the Science Center pass and the challenge was set, we decided how many different science centers we can really hit.
Right.
Revolve your vacation around the science center in a way. You know, what can you really go to? So we've definitely have had, we'll start in Harrisburg. It was the Whitaker Center.
That's right.
And this is also a shout out because we listened to Adventures in Odyssey. It was always the, you know, Whitaker Center was from John A.B. Whitaker in a way that we remember.
We're big Adventures in Odyssey fans. So that's a radio program that, it used to be on the radio. Now you just
That's another story. We could talk about the radio program, how you used to do wonderful things for your husband when we were first married. But let's move on.
Oh, well, now that you've mentioned it, we should say something. So back in 1995, when we were newlyweds, you would, on Saturday mornings, you worked at the Y, so you would be going out early in the morning to...
Running all my sport leagues that we did.
Right. And I, being 22 years old, was like, I'm not getting out of bed that early because I was not working there. And so Adventures in Odyssey would come on at 8:30 in the morning, and you would leave the cassette tape ready. Do y'all remember
we're dating
how,
ourselves. Cassette tape, yes.
Yeah, you had to record on a cassette tape. And you had to push play and record at the same time, so that way the tape would move, but it would also record what was on the radio.
But we had to make sure we had good reception.
And we had to have good radio reception so it wasn't crackly and you could hear it. But if you wanted, what you would do is set it up overnight. So you'd hit play, record, and pause. So all I had to do was wake up and hit pause to like unpause it. And then
that was my years of being a radio DJ. So I mastered all these skills.
It's crazy now when you think of like how we just have apps and you just like download the app and hit play and like Spotify. You have it all.
Oh, yeah, there was a lot of things.
Right there, you know, like you have it all right there. But before that, if you're listening and you were born before the advent of the internet and like, you know, the things that we did back then. So, So anyway, John Avery Whitaker, let's bring this back to the Whitaker Center. John Avery Whitaker was a
character.
One of the main characters, and we loved the name Whitaker. So at one point, we were thinking of naming a dog Whitaker, but we never did.
Yeah.
But the Whitaker Center in Harrisburg is an easy name for us to remember because of that tie-in to this drama. That it's a really fun program. If you're ever looking for something to listen to with your family or just for fun, we were listening to it before we ever had kids, but highly recommend. So anyway, we decided to do that. And then I was from Baltimore, so we would go down to Baltimore and see family. And we would go to that science center down there, which was really
fun. And railroad museums. That's right. We had the receptacle pass for the railroad museums. Oh, yeah, we definitely did.
Yes, our son is really into trains. And so he loved that as a... You know, as a kid, you know, going to the different train museums. So, yeah, so it's fun to find ways to like really stretch your dollars, you know, when you want to spend time with friends or family.
Yeah, because we did the Whitaker Centers, well, we did the Science Center in multiple ones in Pennsylvania. We ended up going mm-hmm. New Jersey and Maryland, and mm-hmm. actually we did some in Virginia, yeah. and any place we would go, we would pull out that map. It's almost mm-hmm. like you just, you know, scout out what's your vacation going to be. Oh, we're visiting a family. What science right. center is somewhere nearby that we can true. Go check on different yeah. things. It's in the true. Different areas. But the great thing about that is that we get to expose our kids and see what their interests were. Mm-hmm. You know, see what they were gravitating towards when they say, oh, they really liked doing this and they did that and they enjoyed yeah. going through there. They would ask to go to, I know some people buy amusement park passes and they might go to the amusement park sporadically if they live nearby and they pick a particular ride that they want to go on and they'll go to that amusement mm-hmm. park at that time to ride that ride and then they go home. So we kind of started doing yeah. that at the Science Center or the close by one. Like, oh, we're done with church. Is the Science Center open? Let's just swing by and pop in. Yeah. And then
especially when they have those children's like dress up areas or, you know, other things that the kids would really enjoy playing, or the water table, you know, things that they did when they were toddlers and preschoolers.
I remember that one.
Yeah.
If you ever dived into one of those water tables where you barricade, the challenge was always to try to barricade something of the water with of one area.
That's
right. We're sticking our arms in it. But then these science centers, for some reason, put a safety feature on it that you just can't build the water as high as you'd like to. Because they're trying
those
to
barricade. Dads, you know?
Those dads like... that are trying to do all these creative things that you're.
Yes.
Uh-huh. They had paper plane launches. There's a lot mm-hmm. of things. Climbing walls. The Baltimore Science Center had a pull. They would pull a rope.
Oh, yeah, so you learned about pulleys and.
Pulleys and bouncing uh-huh. balls. And there's a lot of things yeah. you can learn going on these different
you
trips.
You and I have learned a lot just by having kids and going to these science centers. I hopefully retained a lot too. But yeah, it really does instill a love of science. And I think too, when you have kids or when you go through those things as an adult, it's like your second education. Like you just learn all these things. That you kind of missed the first time around. So that's always, I've gotten a great education by having kids.
But it's making the most of our opportunities. I mean, we've definitely been to, you know, when we've gone to the train museums, like we started finding out because our son, well, he liked Thomas the Tank Engine. Mm-hmm. I think a little bit of that came from me. not so much forcing Thomas on him. It was the fact that it was just the show that was on.
Right.
And he gravitated towards yeah. Thomas the Tank Engine. So we mm-hmm. found out that there was actually a full-size tank engine of Thomas that came in Lancaster at the Railroad Museum that would in Strasbourg. Mm-hmm. So we found out about that, went to the train there, found out there was a museum across the street, and then like, and this was we didn't do it at first, but I think it was not till a couple of years later mm-hmm. that we found out that if you buy a pass here, you can use the pass at other museums. And we said, oh, sure, why not? Or there mm-hmm. were times that we just ended up buying the pass as a family because we knew we were going to be visiting there
yeah.
multiple times.
Right.
But that gave us the memories of, you know, I remember our son excited, but then our oldest daughter was, why are we doing this again? Why are we going here? So we had to find what was that thing for her that we could go to mm-hmm. to make it more exciting. She really liked the science centers and doing those activities.
Right. And then when we would go to New York City, when we were visiting your family.
Oh, gosh, yes.
We would take her to the American Girl doll store, which was three stories of just American Girl dolls. And so that was when she just loved looking at all the different dolls and the outfits. And our son was like,
why are we here?
He was super patient, though. I have to give him a shout out for that. Like, he was always really patient as the older brother. But yeah, they definitely, you learn a lot of patience when you have siblings or, you know, family members. But, you know, it is important to give each other, like find out what each other's interested in and then join in on that.
Yeah, because you think about those family trips or like those day trips or vacations that you've gone sitting in the back of the car waiting to go somewhere. It's like, are we almost there yet? Are mm-hmm. we there yet? And you're trying to find something to do with your kids and keeping them entertained. And I think us as the parents, I mean, how many episodes of shows have I listened to of movies throughout the years that I know all of the lines to VeggieTales and to different movies, but I never, like, how do I know all of this? Because I've heard it while I'm driving, but I've never been able to watch it.
Right.
Because it's always on in that different area. So speaking of movies, and we talk about things that we've done as a family, when we moved to mm-hmm. Raleigh, North Carolina, my wife mm-hmm. found a fantastic opportunity for us.
It was.
I'm not being sarcastic about this because I mean there's a whole line to this that goes in, but you know we're talking about the idea is, you know, we've done things as a family and we start thinking about the different things and we can reminisce, not well it is like reminiscing, but we can go over and there's other examples of things that we've done.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, those brief memories of things like going to the science center, going to an amusement park, going to, you know, the train museums, going to the American Girl store. Those are all things that our kids do remember when we bring it up. And it starts with the conversation, you know, it brings back conversations and memories. Hey, remember when we did this? Oh, yeah. And then we start talking about it. And then one person starts the story. I said, but then they add to the story and they keep going on. So this is one of these stories that it starts off with a simple, simple idea. And it sounded, yeah. It sounded very, it sounded great, but misleading, but was it really true? So I'll just let you.
Okay. So back in 20, I guess this was early 2016.
It was when we first moved to North Carolina.
Oh, so then 2015, that fall.
It wasn't that, yeah, it was cold.
Okay. So we're talking, you know, a while ago.
We're new.
And we were brand new, didn't know anybody. And I had found out about this homeschool email list you could be a part of. And so they would just announce things on this email. And so I was always looking for things that we could do as a family to get to know people in the area.
Yeah.
And one time they said, we're making a movie and we need homeschooling families to come and help us. Well, that sounded amazing to me. I mean, we'd never been on a movie set. We'd never participated in such a thing. So I told the family, I'm like, let's do it. So our youngest was 5 and our oldest was 15. And so,
but so we pretty much were just going cold turkey on this. Like, I didn't know what was going on.
It just said homeschool families come. So we got there around dinner time.
We drove to a state park.
Yeah, that's where they were filming then.
Yeah, so we drove to a state park. We just drove down this road, just appeared, and we were like, what?
And we're like, so we're here. We saw the ad for homeschool families. So they directed us to who to sign in. And let them know, you know, let them know that we were there. And then we found out that on movie sets, like, they're required to serve meals. I forget what it was. Like, I think it's every, I don't remember, however many hours. So it doesn't matter what time of day. It's just whenever those, like, let's just say 6, because I don't remember the number. But let's just say after 6 hours, they have to provide a meal for everybody, this, you know, the actors and the crew.
So it's like a truck driver has to take mandatory stops when they're driving their...
So they were telling us, yeah, exactly. So they were telling us, like, dinner will be at 10 o'clock and then 10 o'clock at night. And then we're going to shoot the scene overnight. And so we looked at our kids who were ages 5 to 15 and we're like, yeah, I don't think this is going to work for them. So we took them home because they were like, there really wasn't anything for them to do. So we took them home, and then you and I went back to stay overnight.
Well, did our son stick around for the boom
mic? No, he went to a youth group.
That's right. That's right.
He went to a youth group and then got a ride home. So,
oh, that wasn't until the next time that he came back. And
he ended up spending the last month, you know, working on the movie. So he had an amazing experience after this night. He just wasn't there for this initial night.
So is that the setup? He had an amazing experience.
He had an amazing experience. So our experience.
We had an experience. Our kid, it was a little different.
Yes. So we found out dinner would be at 10 p.m., then shooting the scene overnight. And so I got to help make coffee and do those kinds of things. Your job was a little different.
My job started already before 10 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
because my wife was the one that was actually within. So the way it works out is you had an entrance into this, well, it was a recreational area, but I could call it a state park. And there was a gate that they had after hours because they were reserving the property of to film this movie in this area. And they said, well, we need somebody to stand at this gate to let people in. You know, the actors are going to be arriving. They're going to be coming down this road. We need someone to be there because we just can't let anybody just wander in, because they see that the gates open, the people just wander into the community. They didn't know a movie was being filmed. They just thought that there would just be something going on. So sure enough, I was at the gate, standing at the gate. That's all I did.
Mm-hmm.
Waiting for people to arrive, trying to get their stories. I had no idea who they were. I didn't know if they could have said, you know, anything to me and we've gotten in, because I didn't know what, there was no like secret password or anything.
Right. We didn't know a lot going into this for sure.
But here I thought I'd be, oh, I'm just going to be at the gate for a couple hours. No, I was there from, I think it was 9 o'clock that night till the next morning.
I think we left around 4:30 in the morning to go home.
We were mentally checked out.
We were. Yeah, so you were the gatekeeper.
That was my title. They called me the gatekeeper.
And then one of the actors was getting a cold, so they asked you to run to the grocery store and pick up some cold meds. I remember them stopping, because I got to end up, after I made the coffee and was doing that kind of work, I got to go watch the scene being filmed. And it's a very serious scene. The movie is about human trafficking, which was really good that they were bringing awareness to that. And, you know, the bad guy is driving the van. He's, you know, got the girl, and the police are chasing him. Like, it's a really serious scene. And I think they filmed it at least 30 times that night. And I remember thinking, like, I have this whole thing memorized now. Like, it was interesting. But when you're watching, I realized that
So set this up here again. This is, I'm the gatekeeper, and what does my wife get to do? She makes coffee, and she watches the film of a movie.
I know. I wish that you could have, like, been a part of that, because it was interesting. Because they would film it, and then they would yell cut, and there were, like, 30 people in a line, like, watching the scene. And so they just told us, like, make sure you're super quiet and stuff like that. But it was really funny because it's, like I said, it's a very serious scene. But every time they yelled cut, like, all the actors would just, like, start goofing off and hanging out and, you know, doing cartwheels and stuff like that. Like, they were just being really silly, except for the one guy who was the van driver, who was really, he's the villain of the yes. movie.
Yeah, stay in character.
He never broke character. He stayed very mean. He didn't look like you wanted to mess with him, even when everybody else was goofing around.
So this was about, like, 1 o'clock in the morning, or mm-hmm. 1 or 2 in the morning they're doing yeah. this. And then I have me as the gatekeeper standing there, because no one could come in. It's almost like the closed set. You wait for the red light to come on, and they said nope, mm-hmm. because if anyone drove down the road, because it was so dark in this area, in the recreational area, that the car lights would throw off the filming.
Right.
So nothing could come down the road, no one else at all. Even if there was someone waiting there, I said, sorry, I can't let you in yet mm-hmm. until they tell me it's okay.
Yeah. So that was really interesting. But yeah, we were wiped out. And I think they were going all night. And by 4:30 in the morning, we were like, so we actually have to go home. Like, we cannot, like, stay awake any longer.
Because they were having their lunchtime.
Yeah, I think they were, like, around 4, they were getting ready to serve another meal, just because of the union, you know, the actors union. But so those things were really interesting, but that ended up being just me learning those things and you working the gate that night. But then what was really cool was that our son ended up getting to work on all the behind the scenes and learn about movie making, and, you know, they had about 3 or 4 weeks of production after that scene. And so
he helped the boom mic operator.
That's right.
That's right.
And then he got to be an extra in the movie because they needed teenagers to be in the classroom. So he ended up, you know, getting to do that. And
we look back at it going, how did you get in this movie again?
I know.
All because mom saw an ad that said, took advantage.
I just learned too, like, you have to be spontaneous sometimes, or you have to just go, we've never done anything like that before, but let's give it a try. Like, sometimes you just have to do that, because then you find, like, oh yeah, that's really actually, you know, something we would enjoy doing. Or, you know, you just have to put yourself out there and try new things. So
yeah. And that's one of our biggest that a lot for our trek. You know, we've done things before and just, let's just do it. Mm-hmm. You know, we've done just to try it, because you never know the benefit from it. You never know how it's going to help you down the road. I mean, I see a lot of the things that we've done as a family, for especially for our kids, but also us personally, how that, like we said, how that molds us into adulthood and things right. that we've done. You know, I see, you know, I was, you know, being in Missouri, my son has still a passion for knowing about trains. So I got to see along one of their old rail trails along the Missouri River, the Katy Trail, which is a state park. It's kind of cool. It's like 200 miles, but it's the old railroad line. But they had an old caboose on the line, and they had two different cabooses on the line. I took a picture of it, and my son was, you know, really ecstatic to see these photos. So mm-hmm. it's things that we still get to share with our yeah. kids or people that we know in those areas, when we say, hey, remember when you did that? Or when you say, you know, we're going to do this as a family right now. Like, we are? Okay, why? And we just tried anyway. And that's what yeah. ended up happening with the movie.
Right. Oh, yeah, for sure, with the movie. And then I think it really just instilled in our kids this desire to try new things. Like, they don't always get in a rut and say, like, no, it has to be this way. Like, I think that's just a really great trait. And if it's not something that comes naturally to you and you're like, no, I just really want to stay inside, or I feel comfortable doing whatever. Like, once you start to put yourself out there, whether it is to make new friends or to meet people in your neighborhood or to say hi to the cashier, you know, and really take an interest in people in your day-to-day life. Like, when you start to do that, it actually becomes easier the more that you do it.
It does. Yeah, having exposure to things is what you're, you know, when you're mentioning that, it does. Because a lot of times, like you said, we don't say hi to people or we don't acknowledge people. We go, mm-hmm. you know, just put our heads down and just go and not do anything.
Right, because you think about your to-do list, or you think, I only have this amount of time to run in the grocery store. But it's so important to do those things, whether it's going to a field trip or a museum with your family, or
going antiquing. Something. That's what builds patience. I mean, it's truly, I mean, it is what it's all about. When I really think about it, you know, I have a lot of patience. I had to have a lot of patience as a child. So one thing, this came to me now. There's four boys in my family growing up. And for those people who can relate, going clothes shopping with my mother is not always the most pleasant thing that I enjoyed as a family. She would take me to the mall. And what happened, and they don't have these as much in the mall that they used to. They used to have the clothes used to be in a circular, like, well, they do have them, but they would have this circular pattern around them, like the metal racks would be a circle, and the clothes would be all around it. Well, I used to be the boy that would go into the middle of those, and there used to be a little seat in the middle of them, and I would sit there and hide and wait, and then have my mom yelling and looking for me the entire time. And then I would get out, and it's like, I'm over here, and I'd pop out and go to another one, because I'd have to wait and wait and wait, and that just build patience.
Yes.
Just like the antique.
And those seats are so inviting. Like, when you're a little kid and you can sit on those, like, well, that's really fun.
It's not the seat also. It's just going through the clothes. You're pulling it open, jump in, and you hide it. And nowadays, it's the game of sardines that we play where we're trying to hide from each other.
Oh, yeah. That's
But that's really what fun. Built patience in you. I mean, think about all the antiquing that you did. Thinking, are we done yet? Are we done
yet? I know. And I'm actually a quick shopper. So one thing that I learned from that was shop quickly. So when I go to a store, I don't like to browse for a long time. I will browse online, like if I'm trying to figure out like a new outfit or something, I will like browse online. But if I'm in a store, I'm kind of like, you know, want to be done and not spend too long in a store. And so our kids, if they ever tease me about taking too long, I'll be like, oh, you should have gone antiquing when you're, you know, because I'm Yeah, so you kind of adapt too, but I have great memories of my mom shopping. But I just didn't pick up on that joy of antiquing.
But it has helped us to. I mean, we've made sure we've maxed out everything that we've ever done. Like, when we go to a museum, we make sure that we hit everything. Mm-hmm. And we went to the, you know, did we go everywhere? Did we check everything? When we went to amusement parks, we would make sure we'd go to every ride. And we still even did that last summer, mm-hmm. when we went out we went to King's Dominion,
right?
And our goal is to ride every coaster. Like, we've just done that. Like, we're going to do all of these.
Yeah.
Not all of us as a family. You know, there's certain rides that people tell you, hey, if you want a chiropractic adjustment, ride this ride. Yeah. And if you want to have a headache, go on this ride. And you think, is it really worth it? Oh, we have to. And you realize, maybe I shouldn't have done that.
Right. Yeah, especially some of those roller coasters. But they're fun. And it's fun to find out from everybody in the family, like, what are their top rides that they want to make sure they get on that day.
And we ranked them, and then we ended up going back. And then that ride would close for some reason. You're like, oh, good thing we got to ride that one before it shut down for the time frame. But those are a lot of our, you know, when the tools come through, it's a lot of our, you know, realizing that we have to have patience for one another. You know, we really have to hear each other out as we're going through that. You know, there's going to be opportunities that we're going to be able to interact with friends and family. And there's sometimes that you might not get that second opportunity. So you just make the most of what you have in those opportunities that you have.
Right.
And those things.
Yeah. And it is important to put each other first, you know, like with the kids, like really teaching them, like, hey, I know, like, at this time you're having to wait for your sister or wait for your brother. You know, they're experiencing something they really enjoy. And learning how to enjoy it with somebody, even if it's not something you love, you know, like doing it with them to learn, like, what they really enjoy about it, and having them teach you, you know, like with our son, like, hey, this is what I really love about trains, and telling, you know, teaching us the different kinds of trains that he was learning about. And when you do those kinds of things and you take an interest in what somebody else is enjoying, like, I think it just really deepens the relationship. But then it just gives you more fun things to talk about, especially now that our kids are older. It's really fun to see that they've really bonded with each other over the years, you know, experiencing those things. And so now they're like, hey, did you see that this is coming to town? Or, you know, like, they know what each other likes. And so they, you know, they're on the hunt for, you know, ways to really, you know, find a way to do those things with their siblings still. So I think it really, over time, just really creates even more bonds.
Yeah. So it has to start with the foundation. That's the biggest thing. I mean, when we go through our, we've gone through a lot of our treks, you know, we shared earlier, you know, those, the tools that we put towards it builds a strong, a really good foundation for as a family, right, and just who you are as a person. And then you just kind of build upon that. And mm-hmm. then you go back and reflect upon that, that area. I mean, I didn't realize how much it meant to our kids to watch, you know, the Polar Express movie came out. We thought it was just for our son. And then it turned out to an entire, you know, a tradition now for things right. that watching the movie mm-hmm. And also then, like, we do a whole scavenger hunt thing with the Polar Express box that we call it for at Christmas time. And it really is have them that they're looking forward to that, like what it's going right. to be. And I'll have to share about that.
Yeah, on a Christmas episode.
On a Christmas episode, we can go on that.
We'll definitely share that.
Here we are. Or Christmas in July.
Right.
There we are. But it definitely is neat to think about that. So, yeah. So we are coming here to a close of our 10th episode.
Yay.
That we've done 10 of these.
We have done 10
And,
now.
You know, if you are joining us for the first time, welcome. If it's your 10th time with us, welcome, welcome, welcome. I'll say, could say it 10 times. But yeah, throw open your doors. You know, we've actually, the biggest thing is we've seen a lot of God's promises and situations that he's done in our lives. And it's really been neat to see where he's taken us mm-hmm. yeah, through this journey as husband and wife.
Yeah.
And as a family, as we've grown our family over the years and seeing how things are changing, you know, our oldest daughter will be graduating here in a couple months and mm-hmm. and our oldest son will be traveling off to another part of his life doing something for mm-hmm. the summer. And yeah. so we're excited to see where our kids go. But, you know, that having that foundational part of our lives and really seeing how God has guided us mm-hmm. in those things.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, and if you're listening to this when we're publishing this podcast in March, like, we're getting into, this is Holy Week, and mm-hmm. We just had Palm Sunday, and then this coming Sunday is Easter, so happy Easter to you all.
That's right. We always forget that when we publish things, and then we come back off of a, like, oh yeah, what day is it? Because we try to, like I said, we try to do these on Tuesdays, you know, early, first thing in the morning. I think we were off by a couple hours last week.
That's okay.
But it's still on Tuesday.
Yes. Yes. At least we're back into doing these regularly. I love doing these podcasts with you.
Yeah, but we are excited. Any comments, if you want to shoot us an email at...
throwopenyourdoors@gmail.com.
And then we do have an Instagram.
Yeah, we haven't been posting on it, so we really got to get started on
that.
Yeah,
we'll get that. We're getting to bits and pieces.
Yeah.
And things I'm putting together. But we got 10 down. That's a milestone
yes.
for us.
Yes.
It took us a little longer than we thought. If we would have done it, we should have been done.
I know. It was just hard last fall, but that's okay. We're back into it now. We're doing these regularly, releasing them early Tuesday mornings.
Yeah.
So please stay in touch. We love our audience.
Stay in touch. Share it. You know, if you think somebody else is listening to a podcast, you can say, hey, I have this podcast of this husband and wife, and they have 10 episodes you can listen to.
Yes. So feel free to binge.
Yeah, binge. I mean, if you're driving somewhere, that's if you're driving out to Missouri, you know. It won't get you the whole way there, but, you know, you have some.
Oh, yeah. Tell us some places that you've been to that we should explore in the U.S. Like, we would really enjoy that.
Yeah, or some obscure, you know, place that you stopped at. I mean, we can take a couple episodes and look it back. And a lot of it, our memories come back to looking through photos and going, oh, remember when we did this? And then we recap on different stuff. So it's always neat to see the photos, but also talk about situations that we've encountered. So with that said, is there anything else?
Have a great week.
Yeah. So I'm Brian
Thank
Garrido.
Thank you for joining us again. I'm Jennifer Garrido.
And once again, you know, keep alert for what God will do next in your life, because once again, you just never know when it could happen at what time.
Yes, exactly.
Thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you all next week.
Yes.
Take care now.
Yes. Have a great week.